Robert Nichols was one of those great actors who appeared on stages and screens of all sizes in interesting character roles for over 60 years. He and his wife Jennifer visited El Paso several times, appearing at the It Came From the 50s Film Festival with his classic sci-fi films The Thing from Another World and This Island Earth. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. In 2008, Bob Nichols was the first special guest of what would become the Plaza Classic Film Festival, and he introduced and discussed the making of George Stevens' iconic 1956 film, Giant. Bob Nichols passed away several weeks ago at the age of 88, but he still appears in our moving image dreams and on the radio today. The following conversation was recorded before a live audience on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 20th, 2008.
Well, good evening. I wish you could see the view that Bob and I can see. It's magnificent to see you all out here. And welcome back, Bob, to El Paso.
Nice to be back.
It was about 2.5 years ago that Bob was in town, and the Plaza had just reopened. And we took a tour, and I think it was during that tour that we made a few promises that one day we would show Giant here and you'd have to come back. I'm glad we made good on those promises. This was a huge film for you, wasn't it?
Yes. It was... Really, my first mature role. I'll never forget my opening line to Elizabeth Taylor. Howdy, Miss Benedict. My name's Mott Snyth, but everybody calls me Pinky. That was 53 years ago.
And his hair was a lot pinker then.
It was red.
How did you come about this part? I know you'd already been working for, 6 or 7 years in Hollywood and working for some of the better directors like Howard Hawks.
And John Huston.
Yeah.
I was playing mostly jerky juveniles in things like My Little Margie. I didn't expect to get a really mature role. My agent sent me over to Warner's to meet George Stevens, and she said, oh, yeah, and you've got to talk with a Texas accent. I ran out and bought the book, read it real fast, and I kept seeing the part of Pinky, and I thought, oh, I could play that. So the next day I went in to meet Mr. Stevens, and I gave him my Texas accent. I talked with him for about 10 minutes, and then he handed me the script. He said, you're Pinky, but you better learn how to talk Texan. And I did.
Not West Texan.
No.
Did you come through El Paso on your route there?
Oh, we had to. That's where the train tracks were.
Right.
Yeah.
When you all descended on Marfa, I'm sure the population went way up in Marfa. And this is, back then and still now, is really just a ranching community. It's got a little more, few artists now. But I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what that first introduction to Marfa was, what you saw when you got off the train, and then what the Marfans saw when they saw all of you coming.
It was just a little dusty town. The one thing about the Giant Company, we were all such good friends. I mean, we really, really liked one another. So it was an extremely pleasant time. Janie Withers, who I played her husband, she and I might just as well have been married. We liked each other so much, spent so much time together. It was a very happy and close company, which it was a good thing because we were on that film for 6 months. If we hadn't liked each other, it could have been a little unpleasant.
You have wonderful stories, but one of your friends on that shoot was already a friend, Rock Hudson.
Yeah. Rock and I were very good friends. He and I had belonged to... acting group in Los Angeles. In fact, he was still Roy Fitzgerald when I first knew him. Rock was beyond a doubt one of the nicest, kindest, most fun people in the business. He was just a delight to be around. And when I got to Marfa a couple of days after Rock had started shooting, and I ran into him in the lobby of the Paisano, and he ran over and he gave me a big hug and he said, gee, it's just great to see a friend. Come on, let's have dinner. I said, okay. And he said, Elizabeth is going to join us. I hope you don't mind. And I said, I didn't know her. So I said, no, sure, that's okay. And we went into the dining room. It was empty. Now, I had bright red hair. I mean, it was brighter than Lucille Ball's. it doesn't photograph quite as bad as it really was. And I was very self-conscious. Anyhow, Rock and I started talking about old friends and things that we'd done and what we'd been doing and so forth. And suddenly I noticed that the entire restaurant was filled. It had been empty when we came in. Everybody is staring at us, at our table. I think it's my red hair.
It wasn't Elizabeth Taylor, I guess.
No, of course not. And out on the street, with their noses pressed against the window, were another 200 people. Well, I lost my appetite. I wasn't used to being looked at like that. I tell you, I would never want to be a film star. An awful lot of unpleasant things go with it. But anyhow, I said, look, it's nothing personal. You're nice people and all that, but I've lost my appetite. I'm going back to my room. And Elizabeth said, you son of a bitch. I think I'm going to like you. And we became very, very good friends over a number of years. I absolutely adored Elizabeth for all the publicity and all the unkind things that have been written about her. As an actor, working with Elizabeth was one of the great pleasures of my career. Lots of fun, good sense of humor, and no star nonsense. She was just one of the other actors on the set, and one is very grateful for that. One of the great things about being in Marfa and being there for so long is we really got to know the people there, and they opened up their homes to us, had us over for barbecues, and it was just a wonderful kind of easy relationship. The hospitality, I have never known better hospitality than what we found in Marfa. I loved it.
When you were there, this was an interesting shoot because by 56, Rock Hudson was yet to really be a major star. He had already made several features that he was the leading man in, but nothing of this caliber.
Oh, no.
Elizabeth Taylor, of course, was a huge movie star already. And then James Dean, most people think of this as a James Dean film, but when he came on the set, East of Eden had just been released when you started shooting.
Jimmy was still unknown.
Right. Rebel Without a Cause had not come out yet when they started shooting. Each of them had very different approaches to acting. What was that like on the set?
Well, George Stevens was a consummate director, and he would direct each person according to what they required. And with Rock was kind of phlegmatic, not what you'd call a passionate actor. And George would get him all worked up for a scene, and he'd just be dying to get in there and do it. And then George would say, Rock, don't do anything. And Rock would say, what? He said, no, don't do anything. But no, just say the lines. Well, by this time, he was so worked up that you get all this underlying passion in Rock's work that was made him much more interesting than he had been prior to this, where he was, to be kind, somewhat bland, I hate to say. Elizabeth is a very bright woman. George would take her aside and discuss the intellectual, the emotional things that were to happen in each scene, and Elizabeth would computerize them and do them. Jimmy, who could be quite a brilliant actor, he had a hard time sustaining. He would do two or three good takes, and then he would begin to lose it. Now, working with George Stevens, that wasn't good enough because you know you were going to get up to 20, 25 takes in a scene. So Jimmy would turn off, and George would keep giving him new ideas, new thoughts, new things to work on, and Jimmy would incorporate them and use them, and they would be very exciting. I don't know how he directed me. I don't know that he did direct me. I just was there for the ride.
You obviously had a lot of time after the shoots to hang out, as you said, with the cast and crew, but also you got to know some of the ranchers there, and I know you were particularly fond of going out rabbit hunting in the evenings.
Yeah, well, I became good friends with Bill and Jane Shirley, who had a ranch about 20 miles outside of Marfa, and I would go there at night when I wasn't working and rabbit hunt. And Jimmy heard about this and said, can I come along? I said, sure, why not? And so we went out to the Shirley's and we did some rabbit hunting and drank beer and sang songs and got along just fine. Up to this point, I'd really had nothing to do with him. Next morning in makeup, I said, you know, he's really all right. I had a great evening with him last night. We had a lot of fun. Jimmy comes in about 20 minutes later. Jimmy, wasn't it terrific? Nothing. He doesn't say a word. I thought, oh, all right. Well, Jimmy was a loner. He was an oddball. So I had nothing to do with him for the next two or three days. And then one afternoon I was in the lobby of the Paisano Hotel, as always. And Jimmy said, come on, Bob, let's go have a beer. I said, beat it. I don't want to have anything to do with you. He said, what do you mean? I said, Jimmy, don't play this star thing on me. Either we're friends or we're not friends. But don't play games with me because I don't like it. He said, well, the hell with you then. And I said, well, the hell with you then. And that was sort of the end of our relationship.
Those weren't exactly the words that they exchanged.
I cleaned it up a lot for you guys.
But he was a great actor. I know you've talked glowingly about your scenes and some of the scenes in the film that he did.
He was a brilliant actor. And even though we didn't get along all that well, I was devastated when Jimmy was killed. Just a terrible, terrible loss. He didn't ask for it. Well, he was a terrible driver, let's face it.
Yeah. We've been concentrating on the three main leads, but this is a film that had a really deep bench, including yourself, but Mercedes McCambridge and Janie Withers, you mentioned, and Jill Will and Dennis Hopper and Sal Mineo, and the list goes on and on.
But, you know, the thing that was great about it was that we never felt like we were working with stars. It was an acting company that was working together. And you'll see that in the film. It's very, very obvious.
Well, after so many years, we are so excited to have Giant back, you back, in this great venue, and the Plaza back. So thank you, Mr. Robert Nichols, for making this a special night.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a live recording of my conversation with actor Robert Nichols, recorded August 20th, 2008, before a screening of the film Giant at the Plaza Theater. Robert Nichols was one of those great character actors who contributed so much to a wide range of film, television, and stage productions. Bob Nichols was an actor, singer, dancer, writer, husband, and father. He was also a friend and favorite guest of the It Came From the 50s Film Festival. Bob Nichols may be gone, but his work and our memories of him survives on film. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.